Dukakis. Well, it's a week from Valentine's Day, but we're going to be celebrating Valentine's in Allentown this weekend. Saturday, February 9th at 8 o'clock, Sunday, February 10th at 3 p.m., the Allentown Symphony Orchestra will be presenting a pair of concerts at Miller Symphony Hall featuring David Singer on clarinet and performing the music of Ginastera, Aldridge, Dukas, Fauré, and Ravel. Lush orchestral and choral harmonies of Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe, along with David Singer playing the Grammy Award-winning composer Robert Aldrich's Jazzy Concerto for Clarinet. Diane Wittry, the conductor and music director of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, has championed a very exciting and innovative programming for the concerts that she conducts at the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. She's a composer. She has conducted orchestras all over the United States and around the world, and we welcome her back to the microphones here at WDIY. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So here it is. It's Valentine's Day weekend. A little snow today and tomorrow until noon, but by concert time, the roads will be clear.
That's right. The roads will be clear, and this is a concert you really don't want to miss. This is a huge extravaganza of some of the most gorgeous, exciting music you have ever heard in your entire life. And there'll be about 120 people on stage at the end of the concert when we finish the Daphnis with the chorus and all that huge orchestra. So it's really going to be great.
Big, big program. Special guest on clarinet, David Singer, is with us. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Wally. How are you doing?
So glad to see you. You are sort of a friend of the Lehigh Valley. If you play with Orpheus,
right,
then you've been at Lafayette College many times.
That's right. We love going out to Easton and it's a great audience, and it just gives us an opportunity to program works that we're going to be playing in Carnegie Hall and in Europe, and so it's great for us to play in Easton.
So great. Glad you're in Bethlehem today.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the program. Let's talk a little bit about David. And so what are you envisioning? How is this going to unfold?
Well, in picking this program, the key piece was really the clarinet concerto. It's a piece I think is a fabulous, fabulous piece, and it's going to become part of the repertoire. And this piece incorporates, to me, sort of textures that are similar to Ravel, and there's some influences of Mahler, some influences of Copland. But I really went with the Ravel connection and therefore felt that this would really pair nicely with the Daphnis and Chloe, the second suite. So I knew I had those two pieces, and then the opening of the Aldrich is so rhythmic in its vitality that I really felt that the Ginastera, the Estancia ballet suite, would be a really nice opening, and it's got just great colors of sound. Also uses a lot of percussion, and the Daphnis uses a lot of percussion, so you know it's good to pair those types of pieces together. And then because the Daphnis uses a chorus, but it's what we call a wordless chorus, all they sing is ah, I wanted another piece for the chorus to perform that would allow us to hear them sing a little bit more by themselves. And I remembered that the beautiful Fauré Pavane actually was originally written for orchestra, but then it was not premiered in that form, and he later went back and added a chorus, and it was actually then premiered in the form with the chorus, but it's so rarely done in that way. And I thought it added a wonderful sort of colorful texture. And then that's actually preceded by the La Paris Fanfare, which is a nice sort of kick to start the second half. So we have a concert that really connects musically really, really nicely and has absolutely gorgeous melodies for everybody.
That's great. When you pick the Robert Aldrich, there's only one person you could pick to play that Robert Aldrich piece.
So far.
Yeah. Is that there is a recording, the recording,
right,
on the Naxos America, their series, American series, and David Singer is the man. So,
well, and it's so rare to be able to talk to the composer. You know, Bob Aldrich is living. He's in New Jersey. He's going to come to the concerts. So we have not only the fact that we can have a dialogue with the composer, but we can also talk to the soloist that the piece was not only written for, but that performed it, premiered it. And it was so great working with David in rehearsals because he knows the history. He knows, you know, what we should do where, how we should interpret this piece, and you just feel like you're in the middle of making history.
Wow, that's exciting. For our listeners, if you don't know David Singer, he is a nationally known as one of the most highly respected clarinetists of today. He has performed, again, across the country with some of the greatest conductors. He's performed with Rudolf Serkin, and I can't even get the whole list here. There's so many. Carnegie Hall. These words are even too small. Twice at the White House. All of
that. For Democrats.
Man alive. I got to blow this up. This is way too small. But all over the world. And it's wonderful that you're here in Allentown to play this with us. While you're here and while we have you, would you just play something for us very quickly?
It's kind of early, but I'll do my best. I recently joined a synagogue in my town of Camarillo, California. We just moved there, and we sing a song. It's called "Osei Shalom," and it was written by Nurit Hirsch, who's an Israeli composer, songwriter, and the text goes something like this: "To the one who makes peace in the high heavens, make peace for us."
That's David Singer on clarinet right here on WDIY Classics. Thank you, David. That was lovely. I was watching you play, and I just had a flashback. I am not a musician, uh-huh. but when I was in fifth grade, you know, you had to pick an instrument. I picked the clarinet, and uh-huh. and sadly, it didn't work out for me.
Right.
But for you, tell me about you picking up the clarinet, and what was your progression to making this a career? How did you embrace this instrument?
Well, it's a long story. I'll make it as short as I can. When I was, I guess it was in the third, fourth grade, I had a crush on a girl. My dad was the local high school band director, and actually I found out she was going to enter a talent contest, and I wanted to enter too, and I didn't have any talent. So my dad started bringing home instruments, and the clarinet was the one that stuck, and I entered the talent contest and beat her, and that was not the beginning of his story of my life, until recently when I found a wonderful gal to get married to. But anyway, I started playing and I entered Allstate and auditioned for Curtis.
Are you from this area then?
I'm from California, Southern California.
Oh, you are from California.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the director was Mr. Serkin, and he was running Marlboro at the time, invited me to Marlboro, and I started playing with fantastic musicians, and I haven't stopped learning. I'm learning from everywhere and anyone I can.
Wonderful.
So it's been a great journey.
And when did you hook up with Orpheus? How did you get involved with that ensemble?
I was living in New York and subbing with Orpheus. At the time, the members were not getting paid, subs were, and when they finally asked me to be a member, I had to think about it, I needed the money. So, but it was a good decision that I made to join, and good. Shortly after that, we played in Carnegie Hall and did our first extensive European tour, and it's been great. It's fantastic.
Wonderful. Yeah. All right. Well, welcome to WDIY and to the first time with the Allentown Symphony.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Great. Yeah. So tell us about where you're going here with this concert. Then, so let's unpack this a little bit.
The clarinet concert that we're going to hear. And as I said before, I think it's become a staple of the repertoire. So you really want to be able to come to this performance so that you can say you heard this piece before anyone else heard this piece. But one of the things that attracted me to this piece was the use of different sorts of musical idioms. And I think David can talk to this also, but there's a lot of jazz influence. There's some klezmer influence. There's some beautiful fluid lines.
Well, this is a piece... if you wanted to have a suit of clothes made to order, I mean, this piece, Bob was, our friends, we were colleagues at Montclair State University, and he wanted to write me a piece and asked me what kinds of music I enjoyed. So Dave Terrace in terms of klezmer, Benny Goodman in terms of jazz, and of course Brahms and Dvorak, the romantics. And this piece incorporates all of those things. It's a joy to perform.
Well, let's just get a taste of this. Some of you may not be familiar with this. This is from that same recording we had heard earlier in our program. We had listened to the Copland Clarinet Concerto. This is the Robert Aldridge Clarinet Concerto, and the first movement is simply demarcated fast and light. David Singer on clarinet, along with a Far Cry Orchestra. It's a 2010 release on the Naxos American label. The music of Robert Aldridge for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics.
It's the music of the American composer Robert Aldridge right here on WDIY Classics. It's from a 2010 Naxos release entitled Aaron Copland, Robert Aldridge Clarinet Concertos. David Singer on clarinet along with the Far Cry Orchestra. Also on that recording, the Shanghai Quartet. It's 23 and a half minutes after 10 o'clock. You're tuned to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and HD. We're listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and I am your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. We are previewing a pair of concerts that's coming up this weekend, Saturday the 9th. That's tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Sunday, February 10th at 3 p.m., WDIY is pleased to partner with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra presenting Modern Romance, and that will feature that very piece of music on the concert, Aldridge's Clarinet Concerto. With me in the studio this morning is the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, Maestro Diane Wittry, and the clarinetist, David Singer. We welcome both of you. That was just beautiful. It was lovely and light. And I was just thinking, you had played that piece earlier, which was sort of thoughtful and meditative and peaceful. And that first movement isn't entitled Fast and Light. And even this next piece, or next part of this, is sort of klezmer-like, jazzy. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the different personalities of the clarinet. It is very versatile. As far as an instrument goes, you can make it sad, happy, joyful.
It's such a great instrument, great range, and composers through the ages have realized the different potential of the instrument. Pete Fountain to Dave Terrace to Stadler, all of the greats. The instrument has no bounds, just the people who play it. I mean, it has a fantastic, future. I mean, it continues to expand the range. This particular piece goes up to, for us, a high C. The Canigliaro concerto goes way up into the stratosphere. I mean, so the only limitations are the players. So sky's the limit.
So this was composed for you, right?
It was literally composed for me, and it's such an honor to play this piece. My first love is chamber music. It's always been my first love to make music with musicians together, and playing solo is something that came kind of late. But I'm inspired to play this piece because I'm hoping that people will hear it. Clarinetists will take to it, and I think it could be a very important addition to the repertoire.
Great. I was inspired after listening to that light and that fast and light into wanting to hear the klezmer part. Tell me about the klezmer part.
Yeah, so the second movement opens very, very beautifully, slowly, softly, similar to some of the writing in the Copland Clarinet Concerto. But then he warms the sound, and it's funny as we rehearse this because all the orchestra started to smile because there's a section in Mahler's First Symphony that has sort of some of the similar type of band type writing. And it's almost like you're hearing an accordion, you're hearing street players. And for us, our challenge is to tell the players to loosen up. Don't play this square and classical. Mm-hmm. Add a lot of glissandos. Have fun. Try to one-up the soloist here. And it's just a great section to listen to. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see if we can mine this out of here. Let's see what we have here.
Thank you.
That's David Singer on clarinet. That's just a little snippet of the second movement of Robert Aldridge's Clarinet Concerto. That's on a 2010 Naxos release, Aaron Copland and Robert Aldridge Clarinet Concertos. You can hear that full piece this weekend at Allentown Symphony Hall. More information is at allentownsymphony.org, or you can call their box office, 610-432-6715, 610-432-6715, or allentownsymphony.org. And if you stay tuned, we might even have a couple pairs of tickets to give away as we make our way through the program. I was watching you, David, and this, you know, you're a pretty smiley, kind of jovial guy, and I saw this tension come across your forehead. Were you just concentrating? Or
listening to this?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just, you know, critically listening. I say, well, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Yeah. You know, I think we play it better now.
Yeah, good. That's right. That's good. Now, I want to know, this is dedicated to you. It's fast and light, serene and steady motion, and fast, bold, and animated. Now, is this? Now, could I psychoanalyze you? Is this?
No,
which
I don't
are
know
you?
Where those adjectives are you? Came from? Actually.
Are you? Does this? Is this your personality?
You'll have to ask Bob that. I don't know.
I'll see him. I will
Bob
see him.
Bob says he was trying to capture David's personality, yeah. His wonderful spirit in
yeah.
this
yeah.
piece.
Well, I bet you can be both serene and pretty animated, if necessary. That was great. What a blast!
Yeah.
And so. So please come out and check out this concert this weekend. There's more on the concert
yeah.
program. We're heading out of time here. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other music on
yeah.
the program as well.
So I put on this concert, I opened the concert with the Ginastera, and this is a piece that's not done very often, mostly because it requires a huge number of percussion players. But because, like I said earlier, the Daphnis also requires percussion, you know, it's a perfect match. And to me, this is party music. This was music also written for a ballet, so the concert is paired by two ballets. But I wanted you to hear a little bit of this style. It's the composer Ginastera was from Argentina, and this was actually written, commissioned, though, by an organization in New York for a new ballet company. And it's just such a lively, fun party music piece, and I just thought it was a great way to start the concert. So let's just listen to a little bit of the fourth movement of this. This is the Ginastera Ballet.
Thank you.
That's the Simon Bolivar Symphony Orchestra of Venezuela, performing under the direction of Eduardo Mata, performing Quina Stare's Estancia. You can hear that piece this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Miller Symphony Hall. The Allentown Symphony presents Modern Romance. With me in the studio, the music director, the maestra, Diane Wittry. Diane, I'm out of breath.
I know. You know, this is such a great way to start the concert, because it just tells everybody this is one big party. This is one wonderful, exciting event. And, you know, it sounds great on the radio, but you really don't get the full effect until you're in that concert hall and you're hearing this huge orchestra just having a great time, especially the horns. They have that bump, 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 bump. They're just blaring back there and having a fabulous time. So,
you know, it's an adrenaline rush. I am literally, my heart is beating faster right here just having listened to that.
Yeah.
And so if you're in the symphony hall, you can feel that. And the musicians, too, they get their blood pumping, and it's exciting.
Well, and it was funny because I had it playing at home, and my husband, who's not a musician, he comes running upstairs and says, "What's that? That is such a cool piece." He couldn't believe we were going to do this on the concert.
That's
he said,
great.
"This is exciting."
That's wonderful. Okay, so that is there is something I don't know, romantic, something passionate, passionate about that.
Well, and the slow movement. What I love is the slow movement from this Hinastera. To me, is so close in character to the Fare Pavane that we're also doing on the program. So there's some nice tie-ins.
Okay, all right. So you're conducting, David's playing clarinet, but we have another guest here with us today, too.
We do, and if you've been listening to some of our radio interviews, you know that we have a program called the Conducting Fellows Program, and this is a national program that we do, and we invite young conductors to come and be a conducting fellow for the week with the Allentown Symphony, and they come to all the rehearsals, and they help really in whatever way we need help. And so our conducting fellow for this concert is Gemma New, and Gemma is the assistant conductor of the New Jersey Symphony, and we're very happy to have her here. And her job during this set is to listen for balances in the hall, help so that I know, you know, the percussion's too loud, you know, first rehearsal tambourine was way too loud, you know, triangle too loud, are the woodwinds coming through, and then with the soloist, you know, how is the soloist balancing? So it's really, really helpful to have some really good ears there in the hall. Well, so we're happy to have Gemma here with us.
Gemma, welcome to WDIY.
Thank you. Good morning, Wally.
Good morning. And so tell me about your experience. You're originally from New Zealand, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And how long have you been in the United States?
I've been here for 3.5 years now.
3.5 years. Yeah. And you studied there and then came here to study, or what was the impetus for your?
Well, I got the opportunity to study conducting at Peabody in Baltimore, and I was really excited. I really wanted to study that, so I went and did my master's there, and I got a job with the New Jersey Symphony.
Wonderful. Well, welcome to Allentown. Had you been in this area before?
I've been to Scranton.
Oh.
I've got some friends there, but it's really great to be in Allentown this week. I'm having a good time.
Have you met, I can't even say his name, the pianist, Liszt pianist.
Leon Fleischer?
No. Locally, we have a local New Zealander from... I can't say his name. He is the pianist. He is the director of the Lehigh University Philharmonic.
Oh, wow.
But he's from New Zealand.
I will have to meet him sometime.
I can't imagine why I can't say his name right now. Eugene Abulescu is who he is.
Oh, wow.
He travels around the world. He plays, his specialty is Liszt. He's a brilliant pianist, but he's originally from New Zealand.
Oh, it's
as
nice
well.
To have so some fellow Kiwis here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You've got to stick to your... Yeah. You know, be true to your colors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, welcome. What's your experience like? Now you are a conductor yourself, so you stand on the podium. You get to hear the orchestra write sort of in your face. What's it like for you as the conducting fellow to sit back in the audience or the balcony? Do you have new insights or different insight on the conducting or the orchestral experience from this role that you're in right now?
Sure. I think it is different from standing on the podium to when you're in the hall. I think lots of the sounds level out. They blend a lot better. Thank you. And the sound sounds a lot more unified as one voice once you get out into the seating area. So it's actually, it sounds a little bit better, and I think the audience get the better deal of that. And it's also just not as loud as you said in your face. It's quite overwhelming when you're on the podium and you've just got so many voices coming at you. So when you are able to stand back, you're able to make some good balance opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have, you know, I think maybe that may be something that maybe the average listener isn't as sensitive to, but you know, the music making experience isn't just, you know, the conductor and the page and the musicians and the audience. It's the conductor, the page, the musicians, the audience, and the hall. You know, that particularly if you're a traveling orchestra, and maybe I don't know if David wants to chime in on this, that playing at, you know, at the Met or playing at Kennedy Center or playing at Carnegie Hall, or, you know, if you're in some sort of traveling orchestra like the Orpheus where you travel around different halls, mm-hmm. That's a different sound experience, you know, depending on what stage you're sitting and what the hall is like.
We always have people in the orchestra, members going out to listen at the rehearsals to tell us. We don't have a conductor, so
yeah, right.
We depend on one another for that.
Too bad we don't have more time. We have a philosophical discussion that there was a movement a couple of years ago. I haven't heard much recently that to just dispense with conductors all around. That I don't want to say that in front of the maestro.
I don't think so. I think we'd have a hard time playing Mahler.
We've got too many conductors in this
yeah,
room.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no argument there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. For especially large ensemble
works. Yeah. Big news in California. We were just talking about California a minute ago. That up at Stanford, they just built this brand new, beautiful hall. I can't wait to go up there and to hear that. Have you seen pictures of this place? Gorgeous.
No.
Just gorgeous.
Oh, wow. Great.
I can't think of the name of it. It escapes me right now. But about 2 weeks ago they premiered the San Francisco Symphony.
Uh huh.
Michael Tilson Thomas, right?
Right,
great.
Premiered there. Wow. Brand new hall, and it's just gorgeous. It's sort of in the round almost. Uh-huh. Sort of, yeah. We're in the oval.
But we're lucky that Miller Symphony Hall is a fabulous hall. And those of you that may be a little confused by the word Miller Symphony Hall, if you haven't heard, Allentown Symphony now is now called Miller Symphony Hall, the building in honor of some of our donors who have had a lifetime legacy with the hall. And we're very, very happy to play there and very happy to call that our home. You know, also on the concert, I need to mention, we are featuring the Muhlenberg College Choir. And we are so lucky to have so many wonderful choruses in the area. And this college choir is comprised not only of the students there, but we've also invited some of the alumni to sing. So this is also Muhlenberg Alumni Night and Afternoon at the Allentown Symphony. So if you happen to have gone to Muhlenberg, show some community pride and come out and hear what the school's doing. The chorus is sounding great. And so with this, I think I had told you earlier, the Daphnis actually has a chorus in it. But I also wanted to feature the chorus in another piece, and so we have the Fauré Pavane, which is done usually without orchestra, but we are doing it with chorus, and it's absolutely beautiful with chorus. I thought maybe we could listen to a little bit of that and maybe hear where the chorus comes in.
Sure. I'm trying to... on which recording do I have it? It's the one on the top. Yeah, I got it.
Got it? So we can listen to this, the Fauré with...
No, I don't have it. Which one is it?
It's the same as the Estancia.
Oh, it is the same Estancia. Well, do you know what the...
Track 5.
Track 5. Look at that.
There. We'll have that for you in just a minute here.
There we go. This is the Pavane of Gabriel Fauré right here on WDIY Classics.
Thank you.
That's the music of Gabriel Fauré for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. That was the Pavane Opus 50 for choir and orchestra. Charles Dutoit conducting the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. It's 10:50 in the Lehigh Valley. This is WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio, 88.1 FM Allentown in Bethlehem. Also streaming live on the World Wide Web at WDIY.org. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. That Pavane will be part of a program entitled Modern Romance, Saturday, February 9th, 8 o'clock, Sunday, February 10th at 3 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall. Lush orchestral and choral harmonies of Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe. Also David Singer on clarinet performing Robert Aldrich's clarinet concerto. More information, allentownsymphony.org, or you can call their box office, 610-432-6715. We have about 10 minutes left in our program. Tickets to give away, and then just the next couple of minutes, if you hang on, I'll even give you the number now. You can think about it. Don't call, but think about 610-694-8100, extension 1. That'll be later after the music starts, but you can dial that up. With me in the studio, the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony, Maestra Diane Wittry. Diane, that was the 180-degree opposite of the Gina Stera. I was, you know, for as excited as I was by that first piece, I am totally just soothed, just bathed in just quiet, peaceful emotion after that. When I can tell you on Saturday night, when our listeners walk out of Symphony Hall, Miller Symphony Hall on Saturday night, they will have done the full high and low. You know, it'll be just an emotional experience.
It really is. This concert is a very emotional concert, and this Fauré Pavane is so beautiful. And at the concert, we will be dedicating the performance of the Pavane to Linnie Fowler, who was a fabulous, wonderful person and who has passed away recently. She was a member of the board of the Allentown Symphony, and I valued her friendship, wonderful inspiration to all of us, so unassuming, and really the most generous and compassionate person I have ever met in my entire life. And her legacy will live on in the Lehigh Valley for many, many years, and we will be dedicating this piece to her on both performances.
Great. Yeah, that is a tough hit this week for the Lehigh Valley with both Linnie Fowler and Priscilla Payne Hurd both passing away essentially back-to-back.
Right,
Days in a row. Yeah. And so, again, we invite all of our listeners. The snow in the forecast goes till about noon on Saturday, and so the roads should be mostly cleared off by Saturday night. It's going to be 36 degrees on Sunday afternoon. It'll be a beautiful day to come out and hear this music and particularly remember Linnie Fowler.
Yeah,
it's very powerful. All right, let's finish it off. Where are we gonna go with this?
Well, after the Fauré, and we've gotten you in this sort of very contemplative mood, and you know, we may even have tears in the house at that point because it's such a gorgeous piece. The Daphnis begins softly and slowly with what we call daybreak. You know, the dawn is rising. But Daphnis, different from the Fauré, which is a smaller orchestra, is a huge orchestra. I mean, absolutely huge. There's no extra room on stage and chorus. And we begin softly with the fluttering, the ripples of the flutes and the clarinets. And the piece just builds, and it builds to this tremendous crescendo, so that the final 3 or 4 minutes is what we call the general dance, because it was a ballet and it was the conclusion of the ballet, where everyone is playing. There's just so much wonderful sound. And it's interesting because it's in unusual meter. It's in 5-4, you know, very fast 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3-4-5. And you kind of wonder for the dancers whether at that time period that was a challenge to how do you choreograph in a count where, you know, most dancers like either 2 or 4. They don't really go well with 5. But it's such a fantastic piece and really a great way to end the concert.
All right. Well, we're going to end our time with that piece of music, but I first need to let you know that I do have 2 pairs of tickets, and the number is 610-694-8100, extension 1, after I start the music, 610-694-8100, extension 1, after I start the music, and you can pick up a pair of tickets for this concert, and I'll be happy to send that your way. There's also, at noon today at Allentown Symphony Hall, is the Brown Bag Lunch. You can grab a sandwich or something, come on over to the Symphony Hall. David will be there. I would imagine they're going to make you play.
Of course.
I don't know. Gemma will be there, and And so you can hear all of the program notes and a little deeper kind of into the music. And so that's from 12 to 1 today over at Allentown Symphony Hall. So feel free to join for the brown bag lunch. All right. Always a pleasure to have you, Diane.
Thank you.
David Singer, thank you so much.
It's great to be here, Wally.
For performing for us this morning.
You.
Really appreciate it. Gemma, it was really nice to meet you.
Nice
best
to meet you, too.
Best wishes to you in your future endeavors as well.
Thanks, Wally.
All right. This is the music of Maurice Ravel for a Friday morning. This is the final movement of the Daphnis and Chloe Suite No. 2, Jean Martignon conducting the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Jean Martignon conducting the music of Maurice Ravel. That's from the Daphnis and Chloe Suite No. 2. You can hear that full Daphnis and Chloe in concert this weekend at Allentown with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra at Miller Symphony Hall Saturday, February 9th, Sunday, February 10th. More information at allentownsymphony.org, or you can call 610-432-6715. Congratulations to Jeffrey from Macungie, Carol from Hellertown. They both picked up tickets to go hear that concert this weekend.
The time now is 11 o'clock. This is WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and HD. We're listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. Coming up is our Friday film scores. Today we're going to explore the music of Alexander Desplat. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close is the 2012 film. We'll be spending the next hour listening to music from Alexander Desplat. That's coming up right after our visual and lively arts calendar.
This is the WDIY calendar of the visual and lively arts, sponsored by the Dexter and Dorothy Baker Foundation. In theater, at the Arts Quest Center at Steel Stacks, Tony and Tina's Wedding, being presented by Arts Quest. On February 7th, Ghost in the House, join Hollywood actor Ernie Hudson as he portrays America's first black heavyweight boxing champion, Jack Johnson, in a live production, being held at Parkland High School. In galleries, at the Allentown Art Museum, Fabric of Life, Pennsylvania German Textiles, a showcase of the thrifty and decorative use of fabric in everyday life of the Pennsylvania Dutch. Also at the Allentown Art Museum, Haitian art from the Rodale Family Collection, paintings and sculpture by more than 20 Haitian artists. Fabulous Flappers, fashion from the Ellie Lobner Collection. The era of prohibition, speakeasies, and the wild and carefree Charleston is evoked through evening gowns, lingerie, shawls, raccoon coats, leather sweaters, bridal wear, and accessories. At the Allentown Artworks, a whirl of girls. Wink photographer Allison Lee's works from 2010 to the present. In special events, running through the end of February, is the Heritage Trail Tour, being presented by the Historic Bethlehem Partnership. Walk, run, or bike to explore 6 trails, 80 stops, and 275 years of history, including 2 National Historic Landmarks, Victorian Homes, and the Bethlehem Steel Buildings. Guided by handheld audio device, experience